مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. Oh, مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, stair, success, stair.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers, whenever you're blessed with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, then try and enter according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam would always enter with his right foot and he would recite the dua for entering the masjid. When you enter the masjid, if you can also make intention for nafl itikaf, by making this intention for the duration that you're in the masjid, whatever you are doing, sitting, waiting, you'll actually get the blessings of being in itikaf. May I remind you to eat, to drink, and to sleep in the masjid that's forbidden. But if you make this intention, then inshaAllah, azawajal, all of these things become allowable for you and you get the reward as well. So small amount of effort, but a huge amount of reward. With regards to the blessings of Durood-e Pak, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, those people who sit in such a gathering in which they neither do zikr of Allah azawajal, nor do they send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then on the day of judgment, such a gathering will be a means of remorse for them. So if Allah wills, He will punish them. Or if He wills, He will forgive them. My dear Islam brothers, whenever you're in any gathering, and alhamdulillah, whenever you come to the gatherings of Dawah Islam at the beginning, we all collectively recite Durood-e Pak together. At the end of the ishtamaz, we all collectively do zikr together. And before the zikr at the end, and at the end of the zikr, we also recite Durood-e Pak. So make sure you attend those gatherings in which zikr and Durood-e Pak are recited. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once the leader of the awliya, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was traveling. And during his travel, he rested for a few days at such a place where there was no water. When Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala felt very thirsty, it began to rain, due to which he quenched his thirst. He then saw a light in the sky through which one part became enlightened and a face became apparent, from which a voice was heard, O Abdul Qadir, I am your Lord and I have made halal for you all the things that are haram. Hearing this, he rahmatullahi ta'ala recited, A'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim, and said, O cursed Satan, go away. The enlightened part turned into darkness and the face turned into smoke. Shaitan then again struck by saying, O Abdul Qadir, because of your knowledge, the order of your Lord and your comprehension in relation to your ranks, you were able to save yourself. Otherwise, I have misled 70 pious people like this. Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala also made this strike of Shaitan, who is the enemy of humans, unsuccessful by replying, this is only due to the favor and the grace of my merciful Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala was asked, how did you know that this was Shaitan? He replied by saying that this was that verily, when he said, I have made halal for you those things that are haram, then I realized that this was Shaitan. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madinah channel, we find out from the above mentioned story that Shaitan has enmity towards not only ordinary people, but he has enmity, he's an enemy of everybody. The most pious people, like the people like the likes of Ghawse Pak, the pious predecessors, all of these people, Shaitan will not give up. So no matter how pious you are, Shaitan will keep on trying to take your iman away from you. Shaitan will try until your last breath to take your iman away from you. And we also come to realize from this particular parable that those people, and we see in today's society with those people that claim that they do not need to read the salah. They claim that they do not need to fast in the month of Ramadan. And for them, that they are making these claims that we have been forgiven this. Then if the likes of Ghawse Pak were not forgiven from reading the namaz, if the likes of all the PI's predecessors were not forgiven from reading the namaz, then how can we claim today that it's okay for us not to read our namaz? It's okay for us not to fast. My dear Islam brothers, Shaitan is your open enemy. You need to realize this. You need to understand who your enemies are. In life, we always try and understand who is our friends and who is our foes. Shaitan is your open enemy. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Bani Israel, Ayat 53. Indeed, Shaitan is an open enemy of human beings. From this, obviously we learn that Shaitan is an open enemy of mankind. To make this enmity apparent, he tries all sorts of tricks. Sometimes he makes people commit ostentation to destroy their good deeds. Sometimes he instills evil whispers to stop them from carrying out good deeds. Sometimes he causes quarrels and enmity between Muslims to make them backbite and slander one another. Sometimes he makes people try to lie and destroy their hereafter. Sometimes he makes people jealous of one another to try and send them into the hellfire. Sometimes he makes people a target of this enmity by involving them in arrogance. Sometimes he entraps people wanting others to praise them so that the good deeds are wasted. Sometimes he fulfills his aim by creating enmity in the hearts of Muslims. Sometimes he disgraces people in their life and the hereafter by getting them to be disobedient to their parents. Sometimes he deprives people from getting the unaccountable reward of patience by making them impatient and making them shout and scream due to illness. Sometimes he prevents people from offering the salah, from offering the fast during the month of Ramadan. Sometimes he prevents people from acquiring the knowledge of the deen that is fun times farz upon them. Sometimes he makes people lazy in performing good deeds. Sometimes he makes people lazy in reading the Quran and following this. So these are all acts of Shaitan, all little things that may seem little to us, but these are all of the weapons of Shaitan, and he's constantly using these against you to take your iman away from you. And this list that we've just given you is maybe half a dozen, maybe 10 things. It's not a comprehensive list. We can go on and say to you that sometimes he will do this, sometimes he will do this, sometimes Shaitan will do this. There are so many acts of Shaitan that he will do to take away your iman. And we mentioned one of the things that he uses to take your iman away from you is ostentation. Ostentation, be proud of who you are. Amir al-Sunnat Alama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, has written in his book, Call to Righteousness, to perform worship with the intention other than to please Allah Azza wa Jal is ostentation, riyakari. To do any ibadat with the intention to please anybody other than Allah Azza wa Jal is ostentation. In other words, ostentation is to perform worship with the intention of informing people about it so that he can gain money, he can gain respect, people can look up to him. And like I said to you before we started the recording, if we came here with good intentions, we come here with the intention to remember Allah Azza wa Jal for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then the reward is so great. In this same book that you can download from www.dawudislami.net, Call to Righteousness, I'm going to just give you 10 examples of ostentation, 10 examples of people that try to show off. Number one, if you try to learn the art of reciting the Quran so that people will call you Qari Sahib. If I learn it with this intention that people are going to call me Qari Sahib, then I'm not going to get the reward. Yes, people will call me Qari Sahib. People will call me Qari Sahib. But my intention should be for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If I say all right words that show humility for oneself, such as I call myself fakir, or I call myself sinful, or I call myself worthfulness, so that people will consider me to be humble, and people will praise me for being humble. This again is a way of showing off. To meet people in a good manner so that people will consider me to be a good person. If you're just doing things so that I meet you in such a good way, such a nice way, I welcome you in such a nice way, but at home I'm horrible to my family. At home I'm not nice with them. That is a way to praise people, to get people to praise me. If I meet you with good intentions, if I give you salam with good intentions, that this is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm meeting with you with the intention that you have happiness in your heart, then I will get the reward of it. But if I meet with the intention, if I meet you nicely, then people are going to think I'm nice. If I meet you nicely, then people think I'm good. That again is riyakari and ostentation. To wipe tears from the eye whilst doing dua, Allahu Akbar, in the presence of others, so that people will get the impression that he's wiping his tears quickly to avoid people to get ostentation. So people sometimes when they're doing the dua, they're constantly doing this, yeah, so that people, he's crying in the dua, what a God-fearing person is he, yeah, what a God-fearing person is he, he's crying, you know, look at him, what kind of such a pious person, nobody else is crying, only he is crying. And if you're doing this openly in front of people, what are people thinking? Nobody, I'm not saying to you, don't cry. Cry in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We should all, gosh, I wish that we can all cry and shed tears in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But again, what is our intention when we wipe in our tears? Are we wiping our tears so that people can show us? Can we not wipe our tears in such a way that people don't see us? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. To say such sentences to impress others. If I say to you that I'm very fearful of committing sins, I'm in constant fear of losing my iman, I'm so scared of losing this, my iman, then people think, wow, what a pious person this person is. He's constantly talking about committing sins. He's constantly talking about this. What a God-fearing person he is. Then maybe the words that he is saying are true. And maybe his intention is right. But again, is he saying it with the intention that people think what a good person he is? What a pious person he is? Or is he saying it genuinely? Because a person could be genuine. That he should be afraid of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He should be afraid of committing sins. But when you are saying these words, you need to ask yourselves, what is my intention in telling people that I'm afraid of committing sins? What is your intention when you're telling people that I'm scared of entering that dark and lonely grave? What is your intention when you're telling people that I'm scared about what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? If your intention is to make that other person think, wow, what a pious person this is, what a God-fearing person this is, then you're going to get nothing for it. And this is one of the acts of shaitan. But if your intention is genuine to please Allah Azza wa Jalla, and if your intention is there to let this person know that you should also fear that dark and lonely grave, if you show your intention is to instill the fear in that person that he is afraid of what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment, then inshallah you'll be rewarded for it. To say sentences like, I avoid meeting rich and famous people, to give the impression that he has no interest in the world, and to make others acknowledge how pious he is. To say comforting sentences upon hearing the troubles of someone so that people consider him to be a sympathetic person. To hold a tasbih in your hand. You've got a tasbih in your hand and you're walking down the street and you're circling the tasbih in your hand. Why are you doing this? Are you doing it so that you've got the tasbih in your hand to remember that by having this tasbih in my hand, I can do zikr? Or are you doing it so that people see you with that tasbih in their hand? They think, wow, he's such a pious person he is. And nowadays we have them, you know, little finger punches on them. Have you got them on your hand so that people can see you and think, mashallah, this person is doing zikr all day. This person is constantly doing zikr. He's driving and he's got one on his hand. He's at work and he's got one on his hand. He must be doing zikr all day. Is that your intention? Or is your intention to remember that I've done this much zikr and to give yourself a target every day? Again, ask yourself the question, why am I doing these things? To act upon the sunnah whilst eating, drinking, standing, sitting in front of people. Whereas when he is alone, he does not act upon the sunnah. If you are genuinely, mashallah, if you are a person that lives your life according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then your life is not just in front of people. Your life is your life. It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Your life is not when you're in front of people eating according to the sunnah, walking according to the sunnah, sitting according to the sunnah. And yet when you're at home, completely different. Why are you doing it? So you can show off in front of people. To eat less in front of people in a gathering so that people consider that who is a steadfast follower of the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're eating less. All these things, my dear Islam, are many, many more things. And you will be able to think of many, many ways where people do things. You know, you hear people reciting the Quran in a beautiful tone when people are walking past. Yeah, and when there's nobody there, then it's a different. When people are reading the namaz in the masjid, it's a long rakat. When they're reading at home, it's like a bird picking up seeds. Why? Again, ask yourself these questions. Why are these people doing these things? And then, you know, you need to ask yourselves, are you falling to this trap of shaitan? Because this is one of the traps of shaitan that he's doing, using these traps to take your iman away from yourselves. So, my dear Islam brothers, we need to be very, very careful to save ourselves from the shaitanic whispers. Even during worship, even when you're doing ibadat, you need to make sure your intention is right. If you watch Madri channel and you see on the Sunday, Saturday on Madri Muzakkar, before Amirul Sunnah comes out, he has a chart there of all the niyats, and he pauses and he looks at them niyats and he reads them carefully. Why does he read them? Does he not know? He was the one that wrote them. But he pauses and thinks and considers that, look, I need to make sure that I'm doing this for the right reasons. When you stand up for namaz, you need to say to yourself, am I doing this for the right reason? Or am I just doing it for a bit of exercise? Yeah, something I have to do. You need to have good intentions. Whenever you do anything, make sure you have the right intentions. And if you have the right intentions, then you'll gain the reward for it. And if you have the wrong intentions, or you don't have intentions, if you don't have intentions, you won't get reward. If you have the wrong intentions, instead of getting reward, you might attain sin. A person once saw Shaitan in such a condition that he was walking with his finger raised. The person asked Shaitan, why are you walking with your finger raised? Shaitan replied, I do many tasks with this finger. People who fight, quarrel, and put one another in difficulties is all due to this finger. The person asked him in astonishment, how can this happen? How is this possible that this one finger of yours can cause people to quarrel and fight out and cause battles? Shaitan replied, this city you see in front of you, my finger will destroy and ruin it in a short while. And the people will start fighting and quarreling with each other themselves. Shaitan entered the city with the person. In a market, a confectioner was boiling water mixed with sugar to make syrup in a big pan. Shaitan dipped his finger in the pan, took out some syrup, and applied it to the wall. He then said, now, watch how this city is destroyed. A few months later, flies came and sat on the syrup that was on the wall. Upon seeing a swarm of flies, a house lizard climbed the wall to eat the flies. The confectioner had a cat, and upon seeing the house lizard, the cat got ready to pounce upon the house lizard. Two soldiers were passing by the market with a dog. The dog saw the cat and instantly attacked it. The cat jumped in order to run away and fell into the pan of syrup and died. When the confectioner saw that his cat died, he killed the dog. Seeing this, the soldiers killed the confectioner. The relatives of the confectioner came to know about this, and they killed the soldiers. When the army came to know about the deaths of the two soldiers, they got angry and destroyed and ruined the whole city. The finger of Shaitan. Allahu Akbar. The lesson we learn from the above mentioned story is that we must refrain from fights as well. Quarrels, a little quarrel. If you can see, all of this started with little quarrels. These little quarrels of fighting with each other, disagreeing with each other, falling out with each other. It can go to where does it go? And you see people that the whole families have split. They've completely fallen apart. They've not spoken to each other for 30 years. And when you ask them why, if they're honest with themselves, it'll be something so small. Such an incident happened. They didn't invite me to the wedding. They didn't send me a card. They didn't consider my son when they were looking for a rishta for their daughter. And little things that have just escalated. And it becomes like a snowball. You know when a snowball, it's a small, and you roll the ball, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And families fall out, brothers fall out, all over something so small. And in this particular case, Shaitan put syrup on the wall and the whole nation, the whole city was ruined. But sometimes are we not doing this? Are we not falling out with each other over small things? Be the strong man and walk away from an argument. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the strong man is not he who can throw his opponent to the ground. The strong man is he who can control his temper. I can throw you to the ground. I'm not strong. The strong man is he who can control himself, who can control his tongue, who can control his temper. This is your true strength. And unfortunately, if we don't know how to control this, then what happens? Brothers fall out, sisters fall out, father, son falls out, families fall out over little petty things. And then what happens is when that person dies that you've fallen out with your brother over something simple, something so small, like he didn't invite you to your son's wedding or something like that, you've fallen out with him. When that same brother passes away, you're crying. You're crying because now your brother's gone. Now your sister's gone. Now your mother's gone. Now your father's gone. Now your son's gone. Now your daughter's gone. And you're crying. Yet for years and years and years, you didn't want to speak to that person. Brothers, learn to forgive each other. And don't fight over these petty issues. If you want to fight, fight against Shaitan. If you want to fight, fight against your nafs. If you want to fight against the sins that Shaitan is enticing us to commit. If you want to fight, then fight against backbiting, slandering, and declare a war on them. If you want to fight, then fight against watching films or dramas. Fight against yourself. Fight against all those sins that you are committing. Fight against that if you really want to fight. But many of us don't want to fight that because that's hard. It's easier to beat somebody up in front of us. But to fight against our nafs is not easy. This is what we need to do. And this enmity of Shaitan towards us, he will do anything. Anything to take your iman away from you. To your last breath, he will do anything to take your iman away from you. At your time of death, even then, Shaitan will try and take your iman away from you. And iman is something that is so valuable. When I came, I parked my car down the road. As soon as I got out of my car, the first thing I did was lock the car. You did the same. When you left your house, you locked your house. Why? Because you're afraid that someone might steal your car. Someone might go and rob your house. So you lock up your car, you lock up your house. What do you do to lock up your iman? You let shaitan attack you and take your iman away from you. Allahu Akbar. And again, you need to learn how to protect your iman. When Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, time of death came, shaitan approached him. This is an imam, this is a scholar. Shaitan approached him and he said to him that you have spent your whole lifetime in debates and discussions. Did you even recognize Allah Azza wa Jal? He replied, no doubt, Allah is one. Shaitan asked them, what proof have you got of this? And he provided one proof. And as shaitan, the outcast, had been the teacher of the angels, he refuted it. He then provided another proof, which also got refuted, to the extent that Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, provided 360 proofs that Allah Azza wa Jal exists, but shaitan kept on rejecting them and kept on rejecting them and kept on saying to answers that weren't true. His spiritual guide, Sayyidina Najmuddin Kubra, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, was performing wuzu at the time far away. And from there he called out, why do you not say that I believe in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal without any proof? You don't need any proof. And this is another thing that's happening today. Shaitan will try and make our youngsters go away from the deen of Islam, leave the faith of Islam because, oh, you need this dalil, you need that dalil, you need another dalil. The people who have faith, that's what you need to have. You need to have faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. The people of the past, they didn't ask all these questions, they just had faith. My dear Islam brothers, from this particular parable, we also learn that this particular person, he had a spiritual guide. And at that time of death, his spiritual guide was not with him. But the spiritual guide sent a message to him and said, you only need to believe and that you believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla without any proof. So from this, we also learn that to have a spiritual guide is one of the ways of protecting your iman. So my humble request is please attach yourself to a spiritual guide. Allahu Akbar. With regards to shaitan, who is shaitan? Do we even know who shaitan is? Do we know his background? Allahu Akbar. Before being declared as unfortunate and accursed, shaitan was beautiful, handsome, and had a lot of knowledge. He worshipped a lot and was the leader of the angels. He held an esteemed position amongst the angels. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, angels were created from light and Iblis was created from fire. Before he became the leader of the angels, it is said that Iblis, who is referred to as shaitan, was in charge of looking after the treasures of paradise for 40,000 years. He was with the angels for 80,000 years, would do bi'an to the angels for 20,000 years, was leader of the angels close to Allah Azza wa Jal for 30,000 years. Allahu Akbar. He did tawaf of the throne of Allah for 14,000 years. In the first name, his name was Abid. In the second sky, his name was Zahid. In the third sky, his name was Arif. In the fourth sky, his name was Wali. In the fifth sky, his name was Taqi. In the sixth sky, his name was Qazin. When Allah Azza wa Jal ordered him to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam al-Islam, he said, O Allah, you have granted him superiority over me, whereas I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay. How can I prostrate towards a human made of clay when I am made of fire? So Allah Azza wa Jal replied, I do what I wish. And all of the angels did such that prostrated towards Sayyidina Adam al-Islam, except Shaitan the Akast, who did not prostrate out of arrogance. So the angels prostrated again out of gratitude to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. But Shaitan remained standing independently and did not feel any remorse for his action. So due to his arrogance, Allah Azza wa Jal declared him as a condemned and expelled him from his court forever. Since then, he became famously known as Iblis, condemned, and the Shaitan. You've heard this story before. You've heard the Imam Sahib tell you about this story. But just think about it. Shaitan did not listen to one command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal ordered him to prostrate in front of Sayyidina Adam al-Islam and he refused. And because of that one thing, he became the accursed one. How many commands of Allah Azza wa Jal have we refused to do? How many commands are we aware of that Allah Azza wa Jal has told that you should do this, you should do this, you should read your namaz 5 times a day, you should pray, fast during the month of Ramadan, you should go and perform the hajj if you are physically and financially capable. All these commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, how many of us have ignored them commands? And if shaitan can become the accursed one due to not obeying one command, what is our state going to be? In this particular case, we also hear that this arrogance that he had, the arrogance that Shaitan had made him the accursed one. And arrogance, what is arrogance? Arrogance is to think yourself better than others and to think of others inferior to yourself. And again, we fall into that trap. Well, we think that we're better than other people. Why? Because we've got more money. We've got more power. We've got more education. We've got a better house. Yeah. We've got a better status. Yeah. I've got this either, and I'm better than all of you. This is called arrogance. And we need to be very aware of this. You know, the most pious person in the room is not necessarily the person that's got the tasbih. The most pious person in the room might be the person that's come in, read his namaz and left, and he's going earning halal money for his family. He might be the most pious person in Preston. You cannot say who is the most pious amongst us. You cannot say who is the most biggest sinner amongst us. But to think of yourself as the most pious, to think of yourself as better than anybody in any way, be it financially, I'm better than him, I'm stronger than him, I'm more influential than him, again, is a sin of arrogance. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reported to have said, arrogance is to oppose the truth and think of others as inferior. Imam Raghib Asfani writes, to think of oneself as better than others is arrogance. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam, these are just a couple of the sins. Today we just mentioned a couple of the sins that occur. A couple of the things that Shaitan will do to entice and take your iman away from you. And you know, in life, when you have an enemy, when you have any enemy in your life, you've got three options. You either give up, you run, or you put up. Give up is meaning that if there's an enemy approaching you, you just give up and say, okay, do with me whatever you want. Yeah. I've not got the strength to fight you, and he gives up. Or you run. You avoid your enemy. Be it on the battlefield, be it on the streets, be it wherever it is, you avoid this person that's trying to harm you. If you've got an enemy that's trying to harm you, you try and avoid him. You run away from him, you try and stay away from him. Or you put up. You put up your hands and you fight your enemy. Them are the three options. Give up, run, or put up. In this particular case, if you give up to the enemy of Shaitan, then you are doomed. Doomed to eternity in the hellfire. But the problem is that the majority of us have given up. The majority of us have given up. How have we given up? We've given up that we don't even realize how dangerous it is to miss our salah. Why? Because Shaitan's enticed us. He's whispered into us and said, you know what? If you only miss one, what's the problem? If you miss a few, what's wrong with that? You've got all your life to read your namaz. You can read your namaz when you're later. Don't worry about Ramadan. When it becomes the shorter, when Ramadan's in December, then you can fast. Don't worry about going Hajj. It's too expensive at the moment. It's too hot at the moment. Go later. What are these? These are whispers of Shaitan that have come to you and you've just given up. You've let him overrule you. You've let him take control of you. You let him say, okay, I won't read my namaz. Okay, I won't fast during the month of Ramadan. Okay, I won't perform the Hajj. Okay, I'll commit all these sins. Why? Because you're not bothered. You've given up. You would think that nobody would give up when they realize that you are going to be doomed to eternal hellfire, but we've given up. You need to ask yourself a question. Am I given up? Am I that weak that I've given up? That I'm not even going to put up and put up a fight against Shaitan, that I've just given up? You should never give up. And we are fortunate that whilst this heart is still beating, we have a chance to get up and fight again. Second option, run. Run from the enemy. You can run. Yes, you can avoid your enemy, the Shaitan. When we're talking about Shaitan as the enemy, you can avoid those places where sins are being committed. You can avoid those places like the places where people are taking drugs. Avoid those nightclubs and discos and all those places where people are committing sins. You can avoid those channels which are haram. You can avoid those websites that are haram. You can avoid looking at those pictures that are haram. You can avoid all of these things, and you should try and avoid these and stay away from these and run away from these enticements of Shaitan. But Shaitan will also find you in other ways. You can never completely run away from this enemy. And today we just mentioned two or three acts of Shaitan, two or three things of Shaitan in which he does to entice you. The third option, put up. Put your hands up. Fight Shaitan. And you need to fight shaitan. Each and every one of you needs to fight this battle. Life is a battle where shaitan will constantly, every single day, he's battling you. Every single day, he's attacking you. Every single day, he's doing everything to take your iman away from you. You can't give up. You can run, as they say, but you can't hide. You can run, you can stay away from those places, but ultimately, you have to face shaitan. And you need to put up and fight shaitan. You know, when you fight somebody in any level in your life, be it on a business level, or be it in a social level, economical level, or even a physical level, when you fight somebody, you need to know what that person is going to do to attack you. What is he going to use against me? What is he going to do to attack me? And then when you know what he's going to do to attack you, you need to know what you need to be able to defend yourself from them attacks. You need to know that if he's going to attack me with this way, what do I need to defend myself? And ultimately, what do I need to be able to attack my enemy? In the case of shaitan, we just mentioned a couple of the things that he's going to use to attack you with. He's going to attack you with arrogance. He's going to attack you with enmity. He's going to attack you with pride. But he's going to attack you with so many things. And the only way you will know what he's going to do to attack you with, the things that you need to know, is knowledge. Knowledge is what you need to know. Knowledge of the things that shaitan will attack with you. Knowledge of all these sins. And unfortunately, the majority of Muslims don't have this knowledge. We don't have knowledge of what backbiting is. We don't have knowledge of what slandering is. We don't have knowledge of what gossip is. We don't have knowledge of what lying is. We don't have knowledge about foul language. We don't have these knowledge. And then we don't have the knowledge of those things that we can use to protect ourselves and fight against shaitan. We don't have the knowledge of how to perform our namaz properly. We don't have the knowledge of how to read our Quran properly. We don't have these knowledge of all these things that can help us fight shaitan. You know, they say that there's a saying that, you know, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. Yeah, there's a saying in English. You probably heard that saying. My dear Islamic brothers, we can't, you know, imagine yourself, I'm not going to say you are horses, but we can take you to the water, but we cannot force you to drink it. All we're doing here today is to try and make you thirsty, to make you realize what you need to do. We cannot force you to acquire knowledge. We cannot force you to rectify yourself. We cannot force you to read your namaz. All we can do today is to make you thirsty, to make you realize that I need to quench my thirst by reading my namaz. I need to sort myself out by doing these things. You know, when you fight, there are so many battles that you need to fight. When you fight against shaitan, there's so many battles you need to fight. And there's two ways of fighting an enemy. One is on your own, and one is with an army. When you fight with an army, it becomes a little bit easy. Dawat Islami is an army that's fighting shaitan. Dawat Islami is an army that's fighting shaitan. I'm humbly requesting you, join the army of Dawat Islami and fight shaitan on that battlefield where the haya of our sisters is going. Fight shaitan on that battlefield where our brothers are going toward drugs and alcohol. Join the army of Dawat Islami and fight on that battlefield where our brothers and sisters are committing all sorts of sins. Adultery, drink, drugs, alcohol, lying, swearing, cheating. Join the battlefield, join the army of Dawat Islami and help those people that are so far away from the deen. If you join the army of Dawat Islami to fight shaitan, then Dawat Islami will give you those resources so that you can strive to rectify yourself. If you join the army of Dawat Islami to fight shaitan, Dawat Islami will give you that knowledge that you can strive and help to rectify the people of the whole world. And that's the mission of Dawat Islami. To rectify ourselves, to strive to rectify ourselves, and to strive to rectify the people of the whole world. We need to do this, my dear Islam brothers. We need to help ourselves, and we need to help everybody around us. But then you have that battle that I mentioned, where you collectively are battling. But even though you are collectively battling shaitan, you attach yourself to the whole of Dawat Islami, you attach yourself here, and you're collectively battling shaitan, you also have your personal battles. Your first personal battle that you're going to face when you leave here today is tomorrow morning at Fajr. That's your first personal battle. And when you get up tomorrow morning and you're sitting there having your cornflakes, having your toast, having your breakfast, getting ready for work, Ask yourself the question. Did Shaitan win the battle this morning or did I win it? Ask yourself that question tomorrow morning. If you take nothing from today, tomorrow morning, ask yourself that question. Who won? Me or Shaitan? And the thing is, you're having these battles all your life. And the problem is it's not like anything else where you can have 100 battles, lose 10 and win 90. No. Because if you lose one battle, if you lose one battle with Shaitan, that battle might be the battle that makes you lose your iman. And after that, there's no other battles. Once you've lost your iman, then you've lost it. So you need to make sure that you do not lose a single battle. That you fight against Shaitan. That you fight against Shaitan in such a way that you protect your iman. And this is a battle that you're going to have all your life. 5 times a day. 365 times a year. And it's not just them 5 times a day. Every part of your life. We hear about these pious people that they became so pious that for 40 years they debated and studied the deen of Islam. But even at the time of death, Shaitan would try to take their iman away from them. But if you live your life in such a way and you have that knowledge, you acquire that knowledge of certainness, because there are certain things that if you do, you run the risk of losing your iman. If you are disobedient to your parents, you run the risk of losing your iman at that crucial moment in your life. When the angel of death comes to you, if you've lived your life in certain ways, then at that moment in time, you run the risk of losing your iman. If, for example, you are physically and financially capable and hajj has become farz upon you and you do not perform the hajj, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when that crucial moment comes, you run the risk of losing your iman. My dear Islam brothers, please, I humbly request you that if you are physically capable, if you are financially capable, and if hajj has become farz upon you, don't delay it. Don't delay it. Don't wait 5 years, 10 years. It's not going to get any cheaper. Hajj is not going to get any cheaper. Yeah? And if it's farz upon you, do it. Do it straight away. And you'll feel this burden lift off of you. Make an intention. Please, I humbly request you. I'm not going to get anything out of it. Make an intention that if hajj is farz upon you, you will go next year. You'll go on the next hajj. Make that intention. Kayas, I know that if we don't go on hajj, why? Because we want to get our daughters married. We want to get our children married. We're not going on hajj because we want to make that koti back home. We're not going on hajj because we want to buy a nice car this year. We don't want to go on hajj this year because I want to build a conservatory. We're not going on hajj this year because we want to build a new kitchen. And you do all of these things and the angel of death comes to you. Then that kitchen, that conservatory, that new car, that flashy wedding for your son and your daughters, that koti back home is going to be no benefit to you at all. My dear Islam brothers, please, learn to protect your iman. Learn who your enemy is, the enemy Shaitan. Learn what weapons he will do, what things he will do to try and take your iman away from you. Protect your iman. Protect the iman of your family. Protect the iman of your neighborhood. Protect the iman of people in Preston and protect the iman of UK and the whole world. I humbly request you to please do something. And that is what Dawat Islami is here for. Dawat Islami is here to give you those tools, to give you those weapons. You know, we're talking about weapons and battles today. People are going to think, what we're talking about? Talking about weapons and tools that can enable you to safeguard your iman. Weapons and tools that will enable you to fight Shaitan, to protect your iman. Please, attach yourself to the whole of Dawat Islami. Travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Please, make an intention that you will read your namaz 5 times a day. Someone famously said, live every day of your life as if it's your last day. Because one day, you're going to be right. Live every day of your life as if this day is your last day. Because one day you will be right. That this will be your last day. Because you don't know when that day is. So live every day as if it's your last day. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I have said today. And you and me the ability to pass on this message to everybody. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending.